started this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What is it? We always said if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. So we're going to change things this morning, and we might get something a little bit different. Amen. I appreciate Flo. And Kristen, we didn't know you was coming in. We was panicked. We didn't have a song leader. Melvin, he does the best he can, but you know, that's not his calling. But good to see everybody come this way. It's already been spoken that we've got a lot of folks out for a lot of different reasons, but we've got people in the house of God this morning. And that's what excites us. You know, it's not about the number. You know, I've never been a real big numbers person. I like to see a good congregation, a good crowd come in. But I love to see people that want to be here show up and receive the Word of God. Let's look at the Word of God this morning. I'm going to turn, if you would, to a couple of verses from Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 37, if y'all be turning there. As we come in this morning, I want to tell you that, you know, I stand and look over this congregation and this number that's come to worship and praise God. And I have no doubt, you know, I just absolutely have no doubt that all week you've been bombarded by what the politicians have said, what the news people have said, what the teachers have said. You've been hearing from what the family says. You've heard what everybody says, even the men on the street says. And you know, I know that all this that we hear all week influences our lives and the way we serve God. And so if there's one thing on my mind this morning, as you come here, you know, you've heard all this all week. You've been bombarded. You've heard everybody's opinion. Well, this morning, I want you to hear from God. That's what we need to hear from is God. You know, if this church and all churches are going to survive in the days to come, you're going to have to hear from God. You know, you can hear everything else. You can get the rest of it from a newsstand and some magazine. But you come down to the house of God to hear Him speak. And so this morning, after a week of hearing everything else, I want you to hear from God. I realize as preacher and pastor in New Salem Baptist Church, it's not only mine, but also the teachers of God's Word's responsibility that when you come in, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, that you hear from God this morning. I want you to hear from God this morning. Is that why you've come? We come to praise and worship, and for strength and encouragement, we need to hear from God. That's my prayer this morning. I just get myself out of the way, and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you hear from God. You're not going to hear from me. You're going to hear from God. Look to Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 16 and 17. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 16 and 17. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Now stop right there. I want you to have an understanding that Jeremiah was a prophet and he spoke the words of God. When Jeremiah spoke, people heard from God. That's a good thing, right? It didn't always set out well with him. You find out that he had been in prison. He'd been locked up, put down in some dungeon because he spoke the truth. He spoke the words of God. Now, not everybody wants to hear the word of God because it don't comply with the way they live and the way they contend their business. So when Jeremiah spoke the word of God, it got him in trouble. It caused a problem with him. They had him locked up down in some dungeon for many days is what it said. And in verse 17, it said, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him in secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? I want to stop. This is King Zedekiah. He said, is there any word from the Lord? And he's asking Jeremiah. That's what we come to in this place and time in life and in this world. I want you to know there is a word from the Lord that's still around. And that was the answer that Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, there is. Amen. So the question asked, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, there is. And I began to understand as I prayed and studied through this week that when we come to the house of God, we need to hear from God. We don't need to hear the titter-tatter. We don't need to hear the gossip. We need to hear from the Almighty God of the universe. Amen. And I'm going to be like Jeremiah. There is word from the Lord this morning, and I pray that you're going to receive it. You may not like it. You may want to expel me or lock me up because of it, but I want to tell you the truth, the word of God. Jeremiah said there is. And he said, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. And so he foretold a tragic thing to come for King Zedekiah, and this wasn't pleasing to him. He wanted to hear the good news. I've got the good news of Jesus Christ, and I've also got the truth about salvation this morning. When we look at the world we're in today, I want you to consider the world we live in today. We're living in a world that wants to question the authority of the Scriptures. Amen. They want to question the very authority of the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God. And they want to question that if it's true or not. We also live in a world that they want to deny the existence of hell and the final judgment of God. They'd like to take it out. One of the biggest, fastest growing churches in the nation denies hell and the final judgment of God. Deception. Deception going on in the world we're in today. And I thought how blessed we are to come down in a world that's going this way, in a world that they teach a form of humanism, that everybody's justified by their own deeds and their own works. That's what they teach. In other words, you do it and feel good about it, it's okay. That's contrary to the Word of God. We need to start hearing from God. We need to start hearing that Word that God sends into His churches, that God puts in His pulpits, that we know right from wrong. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Thus saith the Lord. And we come down to this point where we're in this world, but I'm so thankful we come this way this morning, blessed by God, that we don't have to be part of it. That through our belief in the power of God, through our belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are in the world, but we don't have to be part of it. We can be separated by belief this morning. Can you believe the Word of God? We're in an ungodly world, a world of unbelievers. I don't want to be part of it. Separate from that. Jeremiah got in trouble for telling the truth. It's not what people want to hear. But I want you to understand this morning, when you leave this morning, I pray you've heard from God. You hadn't got my opinion. You hadn't got the gossip, but you've heard from God that He spoke to your heart and to your mind and to your soul, that it makes a difference. It changes people. God's Word is what it's about. And if this church and all other churches are going to maintain and survive, we've got to get people hearing from God when they come into His house. If you come for anything else, I don't know. Look at St. Luke, New Testament, St. Luke chapter 16. Going to talk about the life of two men. Very different lives, very different situations, very different outcome because of the final judgment of God. I preach the final judgment of God. It's God's call. I mean, we go all week hearing from everybody else. I'm praying this morning, you hear from God. That's where we want to be. Hear from God. St. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we have the experience, we have the written word about two lives going on, very different, and with a very different outcome that we're going to get to in a few minutes. But I want you to understand, these were real people. Amen. This is not fiction. This was real people according to the word of God. There was a rich man and there was Lazarus. Amen. And so they have to contend with how they conducted their life and the choices they made in life. And this rich man, he fared sumptuously every day, clothed in purple, fine linen, had all the best things, but he never one time turned to God that I can find in Scripture. He never one time said, God, I want you to be my leadership. I want you to be my guidance. I want you to be my strength. He had everything he needed, so he dispelled or displaced God, said, I don't need him. That still takes place and happens today. People live in such a way and such grandeur that they don't need God. And now here's the beggar coming down. Had nothing. Laid at the gate full of sores. Problems on every side. But he had a Savior. He had a God that he turned to and trusted. Now, what we preach this morning is how you conduct your life. What you believe in this life, you're responsible for to God. I preach the final judgment of God. He makes the final call. In verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels under Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And so we have the account of what takes place in their life, what happens after death. What did we just read? It said that the beggar died and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. And we know where Abraham was. He was at the hand of God. He was in the heaven, a place of contentment and peace and joy and happiness and no more sickness, no more pain. When you read about the dead man, the rich man being buried. Now I want you to know, death, grave, is not the final part of this life. I live this life that I may have the next. The promise of God, eternal life. And so at the grave, it didn't end. There's so many people think when you cover the grave, it's over. That's just the beginning. Then eternity begins to kick in. Everybody begins to understand that there is an eternity to spend somewhere, either heaven or hell. And that's the choice that God has given us. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saith, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And I thought about the absolute power of God that allowed him to see from hell to heaven. Can you think about that? That he's there. He's been justly judged by a righteous God. It didn't end at the grave, and now he's in a hell for an eternity, later to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And when he looked up, he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he could see this side. Now, when we start preaching judgment of God, everybody's going to pass through it. You're going to spend an eternity one place or another. My opportunity and privilege here today as a pastor and preacher is to let you hear from God that you can avoid the hell that's set for those, for the devil and his angels. In verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, when we start preaching torment, have you ever burned yourself? Don't that hurt? A little burn on the finger will be sore 2 or 3 days and sometimes hurt for a week. And just think about being in the flames of hell and torment for an eternity. I really believe if we could take every lost soul and set them down on a hot iron, set their butt down on a hot iron, let them sit there a little while, they'd change their mind, wouldn't they? They'd be wanting off. They'd be wanting to get up because they've been in pain, they're in torment, and they're suffering. Well, I want to preach hell to you this morning as a place of suffering, a place of pain, a place of torment. For an eternity. And that's what the rich man found himself in. And he began to cry out. Now it'll be too late to cry. It'll be drowned out by many other cries, I'm sure. It'll be too late to desire water. It'll be too late to be asking for help from the torment. It's final. And it's eternal. I pray you hear from God this morning. That God speak this message to your heart and bring you to the point you say, I want to be saved this morning. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come from thence. So there's no going back and forth. I heard a man stumble around and tell a bunch of lies one day about you could get out of hell. There's no pass out of hell. When you're there, it is eternal. It is forever. So understand that. And so he's telling him very plain. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He began to be concerned about the brothers and sisters left behind. Now I want to say this just real quick this morning. I've noticed this time after time after time. You've had a church service. And God has spoke to hearts. People have actually heard from God Almighty, the God of this universe, and condemned them of their sins. And I've saw young people sit beside their parents. I've saw young people sit beside their grandparents, knowing these grandparents love this child. These parents love this child. If they're doing bad in school, they're going to try to correct it and help them any way they could, that they'd get an A on a report card. If they've got a discipline problem, they're going to speak to them, try to correct it. But I saw time after time after time, they sit there not knowing if a child's saved or not, and sit there unemotional, like it don't matter. Don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you, if I sat beside one of my children and saw him under conviction, I'd be just squalling, tears flowing, and praying that God would get him up and save him. I might even encourage that child a little bit. We've encouraged them and everything else. We've tutored them and everything else. But yet we've never spoke Jesus Christ to them. We get awful silent, don't we? When we start talking about salvation, we start talking about God's plan for eternal life. If you got children sitting next to you, I'd like to know if I was their parent or grandparent. I'd like to know how they stand for the Lord. What would it hurt to ask them one time, say, how do you stand with God? Where are you going to spend eternity, heaven or hell? That's what we need to start come to the point. Stop being silent. He begins concern about his house at too late a time. In verse 28, it said, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He desires to send Lazarus back. He said if he'd go, if he'd just testify to them, if he'd tell them about it. I'm telling you, his concern was too late. Now, don't let your concern in this church and in this time of salvation for people around us, don't let it be too late. Let them hear from God. Let them hear this word preached under the power of the Holy Spirit that they are convicted of sins and say, I want better promise for my life than a hell fire. That's what it comes to. That's where it all exists. I mean, we're about seeing souls saved at New Salem Baptist Church. And then God help us to tutor them and bring them up and nurture them in the Word of God that they become firm Christians. That's what it's all about. You got to start with salvation. We started with so many other things. We want to teach them this and teach them that. First thing I want to teach them, there's a heaven and a hell, and you're going to spend an eternity in one of them. God's speaking to somebody right now. I tell you what, I look out through the congregation, I see it all over you. You're not hid. You're sitting there thinking, nobody knows my heart. God knows it. You're not hid. God's made it so visible I can look with these human eyes and see that God's sitting and resting on you. The Holy Spirit of God moving you to hear him speak to your heart today. Five brethren headed the same direction because of the influence no doubt he had left. Now I want to talk a little bit about influence. Oh yeah, you think, well, it's my life, it don't matter how I live it. Let me tell you something. You're an influence whether you want to be or not. And the way you live your life, and the way you conduct your affairs and the way you worship and praise God, I'm telling you, we'll have an influence not only on your children but everybody around you. I remember years ago, my children were little. And you know, you're thinking, well, I'm not really an influence to them. Children are little. I looked through the house one day and here comes Jamie. She's in a pair of her mama's shoes clomping through the house. She's following in the footsteps. Not long after that, Jake got on a pair of my work boots. He couldn't even hardly big enough to pick them up. And he's tromping through the house. He's following in footsteps. You make a difference and you influence people whether you want to understand it or not. This rich man burning in hell knew that he had influenced his five brothers in the wrong direction because of his works and the way he had conducted life. They followed him right in the footsteps. When you make that decision whether to take your family and your friends and your children somewhere else other than church, you understand you're setting an influence and you're giving an example that they're going to follow. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. With a plain understanding, he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What did Moses and the prophets speak? They spoke the word of God. What he's telling them right here, he said, let them hear God. Because God spoke through the prophets. God spoke through the men of old. God speaks through the pulpits of the churches today when it's influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. So let them hear God. That's what he tells them. Abraham said, let them hear God. He begins to deny, and he said in verse 30, and he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." This next verse is very important, and I want everybody to understand and listen to this. Now, his request was that if one went from the dead, they'll repent. You see the idea of this? In verse 31, "And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." And so I get to understanding this preached word of God's the best you get. You know, that makes me feel responsible to you, that this preached word of God under the Holy Spirit is the best you're going to get. That if one rose from the dead, if one of our loved ones came back from the grave and walked down the aisle, you wouldn't believe it if you won't believe it preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. You think, well, that's not very good. That's what God's plan is. That you hear from God. That you hear from God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 just for a few seconds. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 through 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Now that ought to be plain enough for everybody to understand. Anybody here don't understand what God just said? Is there anybody that, you know, would need more explanation about this scripture than what God just said? God just said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And so there should be no misunderstanding. God has spoke to somebody and said, it's going to be by grace through faith. That's the way you're going to come. This form of humanism that the world's lean to won't get it done. That you think you're justified just because you feel good. Amen? That little sign, if it feels good, do it. You know, that's a work of the devil. And so it go a little farther, said, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we'll have nothing to brag or boast about, that it's a work of God. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. For wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And so we come down to God speaks and tell you, without Jesus Christ you have no hope, you have no promise of the covenant, and without God in this world. I believe God sent a message and spoke to hearts this morning saying, hear God's word about your salvation, about your plan for eternity. I used to be so mean, sit in church, think, I don't care, I'll just go on to hell. Till I got old enough to know better. That was stupid. Stupidity. That's what it is. Ignorance. But you'll not be ignorant to the word of God. God's speaking to hearts this morning. Hear God this morning. It said, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us." And so we have the promise of God that you're either without hope, you're without promise, you're strangers from the commonwealth of Israel and the hope of God, or you're now in Christ Jesus. So we come to the point that when God speaks, you need to move. Amen. You don't need to be down here in the front. Somebody said, well, I don't have to go front. You don't. You can get saved anywhere you are. I was saved in a potato field. But I also know that Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So you have to take all that into account. I wasn't ashamed of Jesus that morning. I just happened to be where I was at the time. But when we have this call of God going out to this church today, I want you to comprehend and understand that if you're not saved, this is your opportunity. If you don't know Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, for eternal life, this is your time and opportunity. Brother Harold's left a strong example in his church 2 weeks ago that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You may be healthy, you may be prosperous, or you could be laying unconscious, or you could be dead. This is the day of salvation. That's what Jesus proclaimed. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not to promise the next week, because we've already had an illustration of what tomorrow could bring and what it could happen, what could happen to each and every one here. You're not promised the next breath. It's a serious thing when God speaks and you refuse to answer. Right now, we're doing things different. Let's just follow the Lord. I'd like about two ladies and two men that know the scripture that could lead somebody to Christ to come up here and stand on each side of this pulpit. I'm tired of standing up here by myself. I'm not in this war by myself. You're in this war. We're all in this battle for souls that's being lost. If you know scriptures can lead somebody to Christ, you come up here. Need another lady or two? Come over. And we're going to give an opportunity from God that if you're not saved by His grace, any one of these spread out all the way across the front. Any one of these people standing up here will be willing to pray with you. You might say, I'm not sure and I don't know the way. They're going to help you with that. All you've got to do is make the first step. That first step's yours. After that, God will lead you. God will guide you. I mean, I'm looking through. You're not His. Lord, you stand out like a sore thumb. God sees it. I see it. That you need salvation and you need it today. The promise of heaven right now. Everybody stand to your feet. And as you make that movement, just step on out an aisle and start down this way. We're going to pray with you. We're going to help you for salvation. If it's you God's talking to, you need to be moving right now. You say, well, we're not singing. We're not playing piano. That's not what it's about. It's about God speaking. That's what you need to hear. It's not the music that saves you. It's not the singing that saves you. Everybody pray. If you got a child standing beside you and you don't know about their salvation, I believe I'd speak with them and say, what about you and Jesus? At least you'll know. We'll guide them on everything else, but we're silent when it comes down to the work of God. I believe there's people in this church that's played a good game. You know, you fooled a lot of people. You spoke the words that I've saved. You know you're not. By actions and deeds, that's where it's at. We know that we have to trust the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of you attended here, you know, been coming all your life, even for little children, been coming, time after time after time. And you've confessed salvation, but way down in your heart, you know that's not right. That hadn't got here yet. Today is the day of salvation. Somebody else come. Somebody else coming this way. Pray for that loved one. We're going to pray for these people. I was hoping about a dozen or two would be seeking the Lord this morning. And if you'll seek, you'll find Him. If it's your time, seek and you shall find. That's a promise from God. Someone else, God's looking, waiting. God's waiting and looking. He's waiting on you to make that move. One step, He'll move the rest of it. Anyone else coming? Everything okay? Amen. She just come to pray. She knows the Lord. She just come to seek counsel, guidance, and peace. Isn't that wonderful? You got a God to go to? All right. We're going to dismiss. I want to tell everybody here. I want everybody to hear this. I'm going to go away this morning disappointed that you rejected God. I'll be disappointed, but I'll get over it. If you go away lost, I don't know if you'll get over it or not. May God have mercy on your soul. Thus saith the Lord, and everybody's dismissed.